In a world full of voices, blocking out the noise is vital. The Bible is clear that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Therefore, this show is dedicated to providing you with a clear sound of the Scriptures, which are inspired by the Spirit of God and passed down by apostles and prophets. I am your host, Delivering the Heat, Gerald Joseph, a preacher and avid student of the Word, and you are now listening to the Holy Fuel Podcast. Welcome once again. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So glad you tuned in, you know, to this next episode as we continue to journey through Joshua. Hope everyone that is listening has had a good Thanksgiving weekend. You know, I know you should be getting this episode right after the Thanksgiving weekend, and so I'm just eager to share with you something that really was the inspiration behind our journey through Joshua. You see, when it came to doing a book study, I thought what was interesting is that there was a message that I preached that really, while I was studying for this message, it really stuck out to me that there are some key takeaways from the book of Joshua that I think are pertinent and vital to our walk with God today. And so that's why I really wanted to do the book of Joshua. Not that I'm doing a ridiculous breakdown of every verse of Joshua, but rather there are some things to take away from the book. Like, what you tend to see in the book of Joshua is that this new generation seems to get right what the old generation got wrong. For example, you know, instead of sending out, you know, 12 spies to spy out Jericho, like Moses sent 12 spies to spy out the land, Joshua only sent 2 spies to spy out Jericho. You know, he understood that when Moses sent out 12, only 2 came back with a positive report. And so Joshua sends out 2, and there is no report to be given. All it is that there's a testimony that the land is indeed testifying of God's greatness and how God has done all these amazing things, and they are dreading because they know that God has delivered the land into the hand of Israel, and it was only a matter of time that they would conquer the land. See, this generation goes in where the other generation was blocked out. And so I believe that this is very, you know, very vital for us to understand, to grasp, so that we can know that even though there might be folks who have fallen short of attaining the promises of God, we don't have to. And the reason we don't have to is that if we can learn from the mistakes of the older generations, if you can learn from the mistakes that others have made before you, we can actually make progress. And that's the point of this journey through Joshua. It's about making progress. It's about entering territories that you've never been before. It's about doing the things that you never thought you'd be doing. It's about walking in the promise and not just looking forward to the promise. There is a big difference from walking through a wilderness to walking into the promised land and actually receiving and holding in your hands the things that God has already promised to you. And so this is why the book of Joshua is so important. And this, which I'm going to go into today, was the inspiration behind it. All it was a message that I preached drawn from Joshua chapter 3. But I'm going to kind of remix this, but I'm still going to use my sermon notes. That way, you know, I can streamline this and not go through many rabbit trails, because I have a tendency. If anyone knows me on a personal level, I have a tendency of going through rabbit trails because I just think the Word of God is just so amazing. And we don't want to do that today. We want to go through this And I hope that this is a blessing to all of our listeners. By the way, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. All you guys who have listened to the podcast from day one, I want to say thank you. You know, it's the Thanksgiving season anyways, but in all things, the Bible says, give thanks. And I want to thank you for tuning into the podcast. It really means a lot to me, and I take it dearly. I don't want to give you anything that's not been truly dug into. I don't want to give you some kind of halfway done thing or product. What I do want to do is I want to be a blessing to you, whether it's on your commute to work, whether it's throughout the week, whatever you're doing. I want this to be holy fuel to your soul. I want this to get you amped up. I want this to be what you need to get through the day. I want this to be something that is vital in your life and something that can be a catalyst for you. Because I know the Word of God is the catalyst for Christian living. I want this to be a catalyst for you so that you can go and do what's not been done before, so that you can go and do what you didn't think you could do. Because really, it's not about us doing anything, but it's all about God working in us and through us. It is God who works in you both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. So go and live out what God has put in you. God has created us as His masterpiece. He's prepared us for good works that He's foreordained that we might walk in them. So I just want to encourage you, go walk in the promise. Walk in the work that God has already prepared for you. And so without further ado, I don't want to waste any time. Let's dive into Joshua chapter 3 real quick. We'll touch the highlights, but let's read verse 1 to 6. It says, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. And so it was, after 3 days, that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." And Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And so I just want to entitle this, just like I entitled the message, Crossing Your Jordan. Once again, that is Crossing Your Jordan. You see, God had brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and He brought them out not to leave them there, but you see, He brought them out by a mighty hand. He brought them through the Red Sea, and now the refusal of the previous generation to possess the land is what barred them out of God's promises. But now this new generation, the children that they thought would be victims, they are camped at the Jordan with a decision to make. And the decision is simple. It's to cross or not to cross. Now, we should know the story well enough to understand that they are indeed going to cross the Jordan. But I want to kind of marinate on the Jordan a little bit, because the Jordan stands as the border of where God wants to bring you into. It's what stands between you and your breakthrough. What happens at the Jordan is actually what's going to determine whether or not you apprehend what God intends for you to have. There's three things I want to highlight about the Jordan. The first thing is that the Jordan is what stands between you and your transition. And what I mean by transition is that the Jordan signifies a liminal space. It is what is between you and where God wants you to be. For example, Elijah's ascension, what stood between Elijah and his ascension was a Jordan. And Elijah struck the waters of the Jordan with his mantle, and he crossed over with Elisha on dry ground. And so we see Elijah's ascension into heaven by the chariots of the Lord was after he crossed the Jordan. What we also see in the same story is that Elisha's succession was between him and his succession to the prophet Elijah was also the same Jordan that Elijah had just crossed. You see, Elisha would wrap that mantle. He would strike the waters and he would invoke the name of God. He said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And it was in this moment that we see that Elijah, you know, the spirit of Elijah was upon Elisha. And this is where he was acknowledged as the prophet in his place. You see, your succession is what stands at the other side of the Jordan that you need to cross. Even Jesus, our great God and Savior, the Bible lets us know that his assignment was what stood on the other side of the Jordan. He came down to John the Baptizer and he said, "Baptize me." And even though John said, "No, I need you to baptize me," Jesus said, "To fulfill all righteousness, do not forbid me to be baptized." And it was in the baptism of Jesus that there was the invocation, you know, of the voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This is where the Spirit descends upon Jesus as a dove. And this is when he is finally driven into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the Bible lets us know that at the end of that temptation, that the angels ministered unto him. You see, the what stood between Jesus and his earthly ministry was the Jordan. But I also want to tell you that the Jordan is a place that stands between you and your testimony. Because in this same occurrence where Jesus is transitioned into his earthly ministry, we see John has this right and proper testimony of exactly who Jesus is. He identifies him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This great testimony, this great revelation came at the Jordan. So the Jordan is not only the place of your transition, but the Jordan is also the place of your testimony. There is going to be something that stands between you and where God wants you to be, a place that stands between you and what God wants you to know, a place that stands between you and what God wants you to have. And so we need to understand that the Jordan is a place that needs to be crossed by every believer. It's also the place that stands between you and your transformation. You see, what you actually see about these bodies of water in the Bible is that it is a great place of transformation. This is where these slaves in Egypt would finally become free and under God's covenant when they crossed through the Red Sea. We would see that even Noah and the great flood, that it was the water that stood between the renewal of the earth after evil had been proliferated, you know, in Genesis chapter 6. And so the waters signify this great liminal space between what was and what God wants it to be. And so it's even the place that stands between you and your transformation. This is in consideration to Naaman. Naaman was the man, he was that commander, I would say, of the Syrian army, and yet he had an ugly problem. He had leprosy, and yet he had heard from a slave girl that there was a God in Israel that was able to heal him of the leprosy. And when he finally gets over himself and gets over his pride, the Bible lets us know that he dips in the dirty Jordan 7 times. And when he came back up, his flesh was like the flesh of a newborn baby. You see, it is the place of transformation redemption and restoration, there is something that you're going to have to cross over, and that will be what gets you to the place of your transformation. So three things that Jordan stands for: transition, testimony, and transformation. See, but coming to the Jordan is not an easy feat. See, the Jordan, when we look at the geography, is that there is a lengthy path downward. You know, and this is why it's called the Jordan. The Jordan, Jordan means descender. And so it begins from the top of Mount Hermon, and it descends southward through a rough terrain where it eventually dumps into the Dead Sea, the lowest point on the earth. You know, and so crossing the Jordan will most certainly put your faith to the test, because you have not passed this way before, according to verse number 4 in Joshua chapter 3. You see, the Jordan is a path that is marked by difficulty, and it will most certainly put your flesh low, or I should say, it most certainly will bring your flesh low, as it should. And what we learn that is so significant in this Jordan crossing is that the way that God leads us is not always easy. But even though it is the way into the promise, we've got to actually go through it. You see, this is the entrance into the promise. And I want to remind you that the entrance doesn't always mimic the Exodus. You see, in the Exodus, the angel was behind the children of Israel in the Red Sea. But in this scenario, the Ark of the Covenant went before them in the Jordan. You see, there was a difference because the enemy was in pursuit of the children of Israel in the Exodus. But the thing is that God is actually leading them into the land of promise. And so they don't have to flee this time, but rather the Jordan is the place where it's about the ability to follow. See, and that's the important part about this, is that the children of Israel are learning how to follow after God. Joshua said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, go after it. See, that we need to learn how to follow, because following God is not an easy feat. Following God is possibly the lost art of our time. You see, we know how to follow our own hearts. We know how to follow our own desires. We know how to chase after our own goals. But one thing that we need to redeem in this hour is learning how to follow God. And following God is not something that just happens by doing whatever your appetite craves. No, following God is subjecting the flesh to the will of God in order to cross your Jordan. So first, what we have to do, like Joshua instructed the people, was sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among us, according to Joshua 3 verse 5. See, consecration will always precede the move of God. It's like when God descended on the mountain when Moses was on Sinai. He said, prepare the people today and tomorrow, because the third day I will come down. Listen, if we want God to move, if we want God to show himself mighty on our behalf, if we want him to go forward before us, we need to take the consideration to consecrate ourselves. Because in consecration, we prepare the atmosphere for God to do wonders among us. When we sanctify ourselves, we remove the filth from among us through repentance, and we turn back to God wholeheartedly, and we do his will. We set ourselves up for success in doing the will of God. Because when we're consecrated, we're unstoppable because the presence of God is among us. And the Bible lets us know as plain as day, if God is for us, who can be against us? So the first thing is we need to sanctify ourselves. But the next thing we need to do is that we need to step out in faith. According to verse 9 to 13, it lets us know is that when you see the ark, go after it. And so what's interesting about this is that before the people would ever step into that water, the priests who were bearing the ark had to step into the water. And so there is a step of faith that needs to be taken. You see, as people of God, we must step out in faith at his word. It's like when Peter was in the boat and Jesus came walking on the water. Jesus told Peter, come. And on the word of God, Peter took a step outside the boat. And you know what? We might talk about Peter drowning, but the reality is this. Peter is the only other man that we see recorded in the text who has walked on water. You have to take a step out of your comfort zone. You have to take a step out of faith. You have to take a step on the word of God if you're going to follow after God, if you're going to truly cross the Jordan, if you're going to truly walk by faith. We've got to understand that we have to take a step, and that step must be out of faith in the word of God, because the miracle happens when we move. Just like those four lepers, the miracle does not happen with us acting as sitting ducks. The miracle happens when we move. And so, first, we sanctify ourselves. Secondly, we step out in faith. Third, we need to stand firm. See, according to Joshua 3:17, actually, you know what? Let me actually read Joshua chapter 3, verse 17. Here's what it says. It says, then the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. So what happens is that you need to not only step out in faith, but you need to stand firm in faith. You know, you got to understand that sometimes things don't happen automatically. You see, they were to step out and they were to stand in the Jordan, but there was something that was happening far beyond where they were. See, it was unlike anything they had really experienced before. They endured like Moses, as seeing him who was invisible. You see, the miracle actually doesn't happen where they stepped out. See, the miracle happened far away from the place where they stepped out. Sometimes you're going to have to step out in faith. You're going to have to stand firm, but you're not going to see anything changing. You're not going to understand what's going on. Nothing's going to seem to be changing in the situation. But if you just hold on in your faith in God, something will happen. If you will just wait a little while longer, it's like when Elijah is praying for the rain to fall. He puts his head between his legs and then he prays earnestly that it would rain. And then he sends his servant out, and he goes out the first time, doesn't see a thing, goes out the second time, doesn't see a thing, goes out the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, and he doesn't see anything. But then the seventh time, because Elijah held on just a little while longer, the Bible lets us know that his servant saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. Listen, sometimes the miracle doesn't happen as soon or instantaneously as you expect, but understand this, it is on the way. See, the priests who bore the ark were instructed to step and to stand in the waters of the Jordan, and when they stood, something that they couldn't see was actually happening. You see, the waters were cut off far ahead from where they were, and it would take some time for the miracle to be manifested where they were. And so as they stood in faith, standing firm in the Jordan, in the waters of the Jordan, the water was being cut off from miles away until finally the land was dry, where they could actually walk and the children of Israel could learn to follow after God. And that's really the big test of this particular incident in Joshua chapter 3. The big test was simple. It was learning how to follow after God. There is going to be some test in your life that is going to stand between you and your breakthrough. It's going to stand between you and your transition, between you and your transformation, between you and your testimony. And what you need to actually learn here is how to follow after the Spirit, because you've not been this way before. You've not walked this path before. And so you're going to have to look in the distance at the arc of God walking through the wherever you're walking through. Walking through your Jordan, walking through the place that separates you from the promise of God, you're going to have to learn how to follow after the Spirit. And how we truly follow after the Spirit is by first sanctifying ourselves, making the habitation right for God to dwell among us. Secondly, by taking a step in faith. You know, we stand on the word of God, and so when we take that step in faith, we may not see it, but we understand that God always validates his word. And number three, we're going to have to stand firm, because things don't always happen instantaneously. We're going to have to stand firm on the promise of God. It's like what Paul tells the Ephesians. He says, and having done all, stand. That's the thing about walking in the Spirit. That's the thing about following after God. It's about learning to step out in faith and learning to stand firm. As the Bible lets us know, we walk by faith and not by sight. You see, your Jordan experience will make for a testimony opportunity. See, Joshua told the people, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? And then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. You see, whatever your Jordan is, understand what God wants you to learn in this space that separates you from the promise is how to truly follow after him. And so I tell you, cross your Jordan. And when you cross your Jordan, you need to make a memorial, and you need to take something from the Jordan to remind you that this is what God did. God had brought us through the toughest time of our lives. God has brought us through the Jordan. God has brought us through from where we were to where he wanted us to be. And in that, we learned one of the most vital things. And the vital lesson that we've learned was how to truly follow after God. And it's this simple. Sanctify yourselves. Take a step in faith. And stand firm, because the promise is on its way. So I don't know what new endeavors God has set you on. I don't know every particular of your life, but I want to encourage you today, follow after God. Cross your Jordan, just as the children of Israel had crossed the Jordan, because the Jordan is what separates you from your transition. It's what separates you from your transformation. It's what separates you from your testimony. Cross the Jordan and follow after God. Because truly, the walk of faith is all about learning the art of following the Spirit. So I hope this could be a quick little blessing to you. Hope you can grasp something from this and apply it to your life. So, as always, God bless you. We love you. And peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the show. This was the Holy Fuel Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. But always remember, His Word is the fuel for holiness.